12:15 to 1 on October 12th, Friday. We're at the St. Francis Soup Kitchen talking to
Kathy Massey.
And Kathy, you yourself had an interesting encounter with a member of the law enforcement department.
Yes, the city police department. They came and pounded on the door until we finally answered it. We answered it. There was a lady officer there, told us we had to move our vehicle immediately. We told her it couldn't, it had to be towed. She said I had 1 hour to get over there and get somebody to tow it, or she was going to have it towed on me. My vehicle is legal, legally registered. I have a legal driver. And she told us we had to get out. This is like 5:30 in the morning.
Where were you?
I was parked in front of Costco.
How long ago was this?
This was a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I had moved, so I did tow it on... Well, they give us a 3-day notice. And I towed it the next day, had it put over on the other side of Costco. Well, they come through 1 o'clock in the morning, beeping horns, the police department did, shaking campers.
Shaking campers?
Shaking campers.
They're just trying to give them a wake-up call.
Yeah. They seem to be harassing campers now. And the thing is, what they don't realize is we are not camping. This is our home. Because we cannot afford homes in this county because of the rate of rents and deposits and expectations of people. So, these are our homes. They're not our campers. They're not our temporary places. They are not our recreation vehicles. These are our homes.
And how long have you been living in Santa Cruz, the general area?
Well, I was born and raised here. And I left for a while and came back a year ago. And I came back because I had kids here. And we had a place, and it was... shortly after we got it.
How long ago was that?
That was last October.
So you're not one of these out-of-town campers who came running in because of all the wonderful facilities in Santa Cruz.
No, this is my hometown. And I don't think these people that are moving over here and raising rents and are not from Santa Cruz County has any right to try to run people that are low-income out of Santa Cruz County that are residents.
You also mentioned there's a new group beginning called Homes on Wheels, which I think sounds like something that was being done in Santa Barbara as well, a group of vehicular residents all getting together.
Yeah, that's where we came up with the name, because if we're going to represent the same thing, we might as well be called the same thing, except of Santa Cruz County. It's Santa Barbara.
Sounds good to me. And you've been talking to folks about this?
Oh, yeah. We've already had one meeting. And that's where we decided, you know, who to get a hold of. This was last Wednesday, and we're making connection with people that know a little bit more about it than we do, like yourself.
Any help I can give, I'd love to help you out, and I'll be at your meeting tonight when you shoot your Friendship Park meeting.
Cool, thank you.
All right. Okay, it's about 6:10. We're out here at Friendship Park, where the Homeless on Wheels, HOW, the Santa Cruz chapter, I guess formed about a week ago, is meeting. We're talking with
Robert Griffin
and
Emily Gibbs.
And you two folks live in your vehicles, or?
I don't have a vehicle. I can't drive. I'm epileptic, so I live in a very, very tiny tent.
Uh-huh. Officer, arrest her immediately. And you, Bob, you live in your vehicle?
Yes, I do. Yes. I've been here for 3 weeks, and so far I've been harassed since I got here about urinating outside my vehicle, which I haven't. And that's what they're trying to say, that that's why they don't want us around here, because we're urinating outside our vehicles and we're taking up the space for the park users.
Where good, solid citizens could be parking their vehicles.
Their vehicles, yes, uh-huh. Yes.
So now, where did you come from, and why did you come to Santa Cruz?
Actually, I was a native from Santa Cruz. I raised my family here. I worked 7 years at Salt's Tannery, and I raised my family here. And I got and I'm a divorcee. And plus, I come back to Santa Cruz because it's more or less like a healing town for me. I come back here and just to kind of get my stuff together and stuff, but lately I'm like I said, I was going on SSI and stuff, and
you're a man with some disabilities.
Yes, sir.
What are your disabilities?
I'm blind. I'm going blind, so I lost one eye and this eye is going out. So.
And how long have you been back for? 3 weeks.
I have 3 weeks now. Yeah.
How many times have you been stopped by the police?
About 5 times.
Same police officers or different ones?
A couple, yeah, two. One officer was, I don't know his name, but he's retiring in December. And he said he's been trying to get people out of here for 8 years. And he says if it takes, you know, till December, he's going to get us out of here. So he told me that. He put out fires.
Indicated police officer.
Yes, indicated. Yeah.
So the organization here looks like you got some folks showing up who are actually determined to get together, organize folks who live in their vehicles, whose vehicles are their homes, and because there's the alternative housing around here is rather sparse.
Oh yes. I mean, I don't know the area too well as an RV owner. I don't know where to go to park my RV and be safe. I mean, and right here it's a place where I could go to the shelter and get a meal, and plus have my mail, and plus take care of business, and it's close by. And right here is the only place I know about.
Here, you mean Harvey West Industrial Park?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, you live in a tent, and you've been trying to get shelter unsuccessfully?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me about that.
It's freezing right now. It's only October. I don't get any sleep. I live hidden, pretty much, and the bus station over there just keeps me awake all day long. Cleaning their buses, screaming, noises, phone. And then the parties over here with the kids screaming and the traffic. Now I understand why parents complain about traffic, but it's just so noisy.
Are you camping alone or in company?
In company. And
have you been troubled by the police?
No.
Well hidden, is that the deal?
I just got here like 2 months ago. I mean, where... put my tent up. But
you came to Santa Cruz because of the wonderful accommodations? You heard what wonderful things were happening here?
I moved to live with my dad. And he thought it was great. So
But you're not living with your dad?
I think it's pretty... I know, you know, it's really great. And I've been here for a while, you know.
And you've decided it's good to get together in a union of folks to reassert your rights?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Talk together like this, yeah, it should definitely be passed to people who understand, you know, what we're talking about.
Your name again is?
Emily Gibbs.
Hey, Emily, thank you.
There was drug-ridden, I mean, that's an absolute lie. I've been down there countless times, Robert, and there is no such vibe. There's women and children and families down there.
Well, Ed didn't really get to the camp. In fact, he didn't even get past the bridge. You know, I mean,
he just said that on tape. Yeah.
Right. So he.
And somebody came out and said, "Well, if you value your safety, I wouldn't go down." That is, I just cannot. I want to call him an absolute liar.
Right. Well, he certainly is misrepresenting. If he's talking about Camp Paradise, he's misrepresenting that. I would like to give Ed a chance, and hope he takes the chance at the next council meeting to apologize for those remarks. And to clarify that he maybe was talking about some other group of people nearby, or his apprehensions,
right?
Or, you know, maybe some graffiti he didn't like.
Well, I'd say, you know, I wasn't there, I didn't witness it, therefore I can't prove it one way or the other. But I think there is a possibility that some fruitcake came walking out of there somewhere,
right,
and said something stupid as that. But it just doesn't ring true, because I've walked down there countless times.
No, it doesn't.
People
ring
have
true
been walking
either.
Back and forth, and they've never.
It doesn't ring
there's
true
no
to anybody.
There's no such vibe like
to.
That down there, yeah. Violence.
But again, you know, Ed said this, and he also made what I think were some regarded as inflammatory comments about marijuana smoke and children.
Yeah, and a funeral.
Bodies.
I don't believe that.
Right. I don't know whether it's true or not.
For the first place, marijuana is too damn expensive to have big clouds of pot smell going around. That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, I don't know whether it happened or not, and if it happened,
right,
it's obviously a matter of concern. But to make these kinds of statements publicly in a loud, booming voice as the sort of condemning high school teacher, Ed's a high school teacher. You know, it doesn't play well with me. It doesn't. I don't think it helps the situation. But if Ed is actually masterminding a plan to establish an alternate campsite, admittedly for only a small number of people, it's a good step forward. I don't want to
criticize
him for that.
Something better than nothing. I had one question, Robert. Yeah. Was it Ed Porter that said that there was fumes of marijuana smoke at the funeral?
I heard that secondhand from someone who had been at a meeting on. I think it was.
Okay, there's a couple of fishy stories. The marijuana smoke, poor people. At the funeral, you know, trying to respect the
dead. Well, it is true. The cemetery board is now told Camp Paradise, as I understand, through letters that it told the council it wants Camp Paradise to move. And that, I think, may have come about through pressure from the city, you know, eventually.
Right, because they were Camp Paradise's allies in the beginning.
They were.
Thanks again,
let me
Robert.
Finish up, Eddie, but I appreciate your calling.
See you, bye-bye.
Thanks. So,
We're now going to play Mark Premack's comments about the farmer's market. And people should bear in mind that these comments were made after Janet Blazer, the inflammatory farmer's market director, had already resigned, and the board had begun to deal with the problems and try to reassert the traditional farmer's market vitality, allowing the musicians to return, working on cooperative solutions. This is Premack's response to that. There was also a drummer who gave a long speech that was very articulate, which I played last time, talking about the importance of the farmer's market at the traditional farmer's market, not the one that had previously kind of been deformed and developed in response to police department pressure and pressure from merchants and, I think, misguided direction from the board itself.
Thank you. Well, it's open comment period here. This is not on the agenda, so if you're being responsive, I'm going to overrule it, but you have a comment.
Thank you. No, I'm not going to respond to Mr. Porter's comments, though I am confused as to whether okay, then I won't. I won't respond. But I would like to respond to a passionate plea made to the city in oral communications for tolerance to be shown at the farmer's market. And it was stated that the, quote, hippie drummers were practicing a prayer for peace and that others in Santa Cruz should practice tolerance and inclusivity and not close themselves off in response to what was happening. I think that it's quite easy and quite apparent and rational for others to come to a somewhat different conclusion as to the behavior at the farmer's market. I think it's for me, it's quite apparent that the people there are indulging in a great deal of exclusive and narcissistic behavior that is in its self-indulgence and exhibitionism, making it very difficult for other members of the community to enjoy the farmer's market. And I think we're fast coming to a point where we risk the loss of our farmer's market in downtown. And the question becomes, does everybody who, quote, enjoys the farmer's market there value the farmer's market above their own ability to indulge in noisemaking and exhibitionism to the point where they are prepared to exercise a little constraint for the sake of maintaining what I consider to be a very, very important feature of any community, and that's a viable farmer's market where communities allowed to support local agriculture. So I think I'm glad this question was raised, and I hope that the city works hard towards coming up with some solutions. But what I see at the farmer's market is a tremendous amount of destructive self-indulgence, destructive to this community, and I think that we need to respond to it in a mature way that takes into consideration the needs of all our citizens. Thank you.
That's Mark Premack talking about us destructive, self-indulgent types at the farmer's market. He sounds a little self-indulgent himself, and coming on the heels of an attempt to settle things, it seems a little destructive as well to raise again the specter of closing down the farmer's market when there is not a chance in a million that could be done without a massive protest from the folks in this community. So I think his attempt to raise that boogeyman, which is exactly what Janet Blazer, the former market manager, was trying to do, does a disservice to this community. And Mark is invited, if he can get the courage and gumption, to return a phone call, and he's another person who hasn't returned a phone call in a year from me. I'd be happy to have him on the show and give him an opportunity to indulge himself and to speak out on the issue as he sees fit. Of course, since he has a forum at City Council, he can do that anytime he wants up there and doesn't have to commune and discuss with us mortal types down here. You know, he can proceed in his own way. And he does, and he will. And this is not at all to criticize or take away from his work on Camp Paradise, for which I do commend him, and similarly commend if his initiative, I don't want to say is sincere, I think it may be sincere, but not particularly well-advised, Ed Porter's initiative. We have it looks like a final call before Uncle Dennis' show comes up.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert, this is Judith. I just had to call after I heard that I was hoping for something positive. I thought he was had a change. I don't know what he's talking about, narcissistic behavior. I mean, what, he was so judgmental, and what is he talking about? You? You're narcissistic? Because you're walking around with a, I mean, who's he talking about? I don't see any people down there getting naked.
It's me with a mirror. I'm always looking at myself and preening and combing my hair.
Yeah, know? It must be you. Mm-hmm. You're the cause of it all.
I am. I'm the bad guy. I've got to admit.
Jesus. I mean, narcissism is good if it's in a healthy way, if you're an entertainer. I guess he doesn't like entertainers that aren't, I don't know. I'm really disappointed.
I think
the last city council meeting.
Yeah, that was from the last council meeting. Well, give him a call. These council members can be reached at 420-5020. 420-5020, and just ask him just exactly what he means, and maybe, even though he won't call back maybe he'll call you back.
He made these broad, sweeping generalizations with nothing to substantiate it.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. He essentially was buying the line of the outgoing administration, which was rejected both by, I think, the community and by the board, and hopefully we're going to see, you know, things changing in the other direction. So
right.
I got to roll, Judith.
Okay, good.
Thanks for calling in. That's about it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Perhaps the incoming show, not the talk show host, but our man who's tending the studio, can grab a tape or that he wants to shove in there to, well, if not, I'll find one. He's ready to jump on board. Thanks for being with us. Come on down to, 96.3 again on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we will roll out the tapes and roll out the mic, and maybe you'll even give us a phone call before the last half hour, for heaven's sakes. Off-air number to call, 423-4833, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And come down to the Howe meeting tomorrow, Homeless on Wheels, 7 o'clock, Harvey West Park, Friendship Garden. That's where you folks in vehicles can get together and start doing what the musicians at the Farmers Market have done and Camp Paradise people have done, organize.
Thank you, Robert.
FM, and I want to thank you again for your patience. If you've hung on this long, we have about an hour left until 1:30, and the call-in number, in case you want to join the show with any thoughts, is 427-3772, 427-3772. I'm your host, Bathrobs Pierre Robert Norse, and I'm ready and willing to chat, chatter, and chabble with you here on Free Radio. As I mentioned before, items coming up on the agenda at City Council on Tuesday, at least on the evening agenda, the main item is the Camp Paradise proposal of Ed Porter. And that proposal, I unfortunately don't have the staff report with me, but some of it is online. You go to the Cruzio site, then to the Santa Cruz City Government site, then to the City Council agendas. You're going to have to keep digging deeper. You'll get to the October 23rd agenda, and you can read some of the documents, and the other documents are available at the public library, which is open today, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and you can check them out. There's a proposal by Paul Lee for a, I guess it's the USA, the United Service Agency. There's been some rumors that Lee may be backpedaling on some of this stuff because he doesn't want to get into a fight with the city council. I hope that's not true, and I actually have no confirmation of that, so let's everybody hang tough here, because it looks like, you know, I mean, it does involve a fight with the city council. You're dealing with a deep prejudice and political timidity here around the rights of homeless people. 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people are denied the basic civil right to be able to sleep at night in Santa Cruz without harassment, and that is only brought to light and suspended, that attack on homeless people, when homeless people get together, get community support, and start making it impossible for politicians to do that without getting extremely strong negative censure from folks in the community who they have been able to kind of chatter along and schmooze forward with their image of being this progressive city council. But obviously, when they start destroying people's makeshift tents and sending them on journeys to nowhere when there is no shelter other than the 39 shelter spaces for 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people, does not play well in the media. And luckily, Camp Paradise has caught the eye of the media. It's not just luckily, it's hard work by a lot of activists, including the very courageous, determined, and actually folks with no choice, really, that's at Camp Paradise who've been there struggling, and they're actually in the parade, by the way, for those of you who want to go down and check out the UN parade today. There's a big Camp Paradise tent float/truck that is proceeding down the avenue, and hopefully we'll get a bunch of people to City Council at 7 o'clock, or maybe even 6:30 on Tuesday evening. That's when the hot soup is going to be on. India Joe Schultz, no longer the India Joe co-owner and master chef, but still a great cooker, he makes good vegetarian food, and it doesn't even, you know, even non-vegetarians like me like his food. That's going to be, we're going to have his hot soup at City Council on Tuesday night at 6:30. Everyone's invited to come on down, bring a sign, bring a noisemaker, bring a bathrobe and a teddy bear if you'd like, against the sleeping ban. The issue here is primarily Camp Paradise, but the broader issue, of course, is the rights of the other hundreds and hundreds of homeless people that are being ignored inferentially here. I mean, they're actually not being inferentially ignored. They are being ignored by the City Council. And they will be ignored until they organize. That's the reality. Homes on Wheels, the group I mentioned to you earlier in the show, and I mentioned on previous shows, a group which took its name from the Santa Barbara organization, Homes on Wheels, is a group of people who live in their vehicles, who've organized to get together to try to not just assert rights, but create for the community alternatives to simply calling the police and saying, I don't want this man parked in front of my house. If you have somebody, you can go over and talk to the person, explain concerns, be a mediator. They have sort of a system like that up in Eugene, Oregon, even as we speak, and I've talked about that on the air before. That's what we need here in Santa Cruz, and only more broadly. We need the kind of self-determination that Camp Paradise has done, the kind of responsibility that they have taken, which hasn't involved a penny of city money. In fact, it saved the city thousands of dollars in cleanup costs. It saved the city probably thousands of dollars in terms of emergency hospital costs, where people, instead of getting drug overdoses, are getting off of hard drugs, as they do at Camp Paradise. And I talked to one man. In fact, I did an interview, which I'm hoping I'll be able to play, probably not today, but another point on the issue. And that Camp Paradise issue is coming back to City Council on Tuesday night for a so-called check-in. And Ed Porter's proposal, I'm going to read to you again. It's item 21 and 21.1 on the agenda, and they're going to be considered simultaneously, it says. This is the continuation of the discussion of the Santa Cruz Community Land Trust proposal for Camp Paradise, an opportunity for council to provide direction, and then two recommendations for temporary homeless camping sites by Ed Porter. That the City Council direct staff to investigate the regulatory infrastructure, operational, and fiscal requirements to establish a temporary headquarters and intake facility for Santa Cruz Service Corporation at the Redevelopment Agency property at 745 River Street, and to implement that facility if no insurmountable impediments are discovered. That's recommendation one by Ed Porter. In other words, it's to set up a sort of a headquarters and a place where folks who want to be a part of the Camp Paradise situation can be processed, determined if they're relatively drug-free or willing to become drug-free. I'm not sure what their rules are, and there is, in fact, a copy of the proposed rules in the packet, which I don't have. City Council didn't make a copy of it for me before 5 o'clock Friday, so I was unable to get that copy, but it is available in the library. And the second recommendation, as well as this headquarters at Highway 1 and River Street, I think in a tent or maybe in one of the buildings, as I mentioned before, that the City Council's family shelter, which it will eventually take over, that the City Council direct staff to investigate regulatory infrastructure, operational, and fiscal requirements to establish temporary campsites at Pogonip near the Golf Club Drive entrance and or other sites that the staff may find preferable, and to report what information has been developed at the November 13th council meeting. This, in essence, would give Camp Paradise another 2 or 3 weeks, not another month, unfortunately, but another 2 or 3 weeks, and then the fat would be in the fire on November 13th, because it's around that time that the Winter Armory shelter opens. Again, sort of a drop in the bucket. That's a total of 160 spaces if you add the churches and the armory for, as I said, 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people in Santa Cruz. But I have little doubt that that certainly some members of the Santa Cruz City Council want to use the opening of the Winter Armory shelter as the death knell of Camp Paradise, particularly if it's still on the San Lorenzo River. And that, of course, has been a big cause célèbre, that the camp is ruining the river, even though I've heard no any independent estimates of increased pollution or anything. I've seen no indication or solid evidence of that. And again, the claim by Camp Paradise folks is that the pollution is caused by leaking septic tanks upriver. Some have said it's from Saul's. Give them headlines, but don't demand they clean up their shit. Saul's Tannery, now leaving after many years of tannerying up the river, or across the river. So there's going to be these two proposals on the city council agenda on Tuesday night from Ed Porter. One is to set up his headquarters down at near the homeless service center, and then the actual campground sites about four blocks away on the edge of the Poganip, which is kind of next to where Bob's Pine Grove campground is, as I understand it. And there's still talk about a campground in the on the west side up near the homeless garden project, something like that, which I don't know what kind of support or opposition either of these plans developing. I've heard kind of the vaguest rumors that in long-term Greenbelt environmentalists are up in arms against the Poganip proposal, and that there's some hostility to the proposal on the west side. There's always going to be some hostility. If you try to put a shelter in some place in a city, you traditionally get all these complaints and fears and so forth from neighbors. But the city has to bite the bullet on this. The city has to acknowledge there is a shelter emergency, there is a rent speculation completely out of control. There is a situation where Santa Cruz natives are being driven onto the streets. And I guess they can all join the army and drop bombs in Afghanistan, or, you know, I suppose that actually they won't be dropping bombs. They'll just probably have to face bombs. I interrupt, you know, I guess I keep thinking we're in the middle of an undeclared war. I suppose you might say it's a declared war because Congress voted all the money for this, even though it didn't specifically declare war on Afghanistan. It's now, of course, become fashionable to bomb countries without declaring war on them. And that's what happened to the United States in the World Trade Center and Pentagon bombing, I guess. Although, again, we have a different situation here because you don't have a government doing it. You have, apparently, an underground group. And that seems to me would require, well, I meander. I see this as a war on the poor abroad and at home, and I see the impact of these attacks on Afghanistan as drying up any social service funds, drying up our civil liberties, taking all the heat off the Bush administration and even our local administration. Ironically, our local administration can now get together and attack the Bush administration. The Fitzmaurice regime in town will get together and attack the bombing, as it should, hopefully. And they'll all get a lot of political points for that. But they can ignore the issue of 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people. They can't ignore Camp Paradise because it got enough support. But the other things, they will ignore. Ed Porter's proposal says nothing about the rest of the homeless community. And his claim that he's going to deal with the sleeping ban has lain completely moribund for the last year. When the man makes a promise to return a phone call and refuses to do it, the man is breaking his word. When Fitzmaurice is a Green Party member, gets the Green Party endorsement, part of whose platform is no anti-homeless laws, and Fitzmaurice supports new anti-homeless laws in the Harvey West that don't allow people to park between 5 and 7, and the only place in the city where there's 7-day-a-week street cleaning, thank you very much, and the only place in the city where it happens from 5 to 7 a.m. in the morning, and it's clearly done to harass homeless people in vehicles, that Green Party mayor should have his ass kicked out, or at least severely censured by the Green Party. And for those who are interested, there's a Green Party meeting tonight at the home of Carl Wilson at 317 Felker Street. And that's right around the corner from Denny's, about half a block down toward Camp Paradise and toward the San Lorenzo River. And of course, that's not on the agenda, and you can't get these Greens to put it on the agenda. Even when they do, they turn around and start attacking the activists who put it there, as they did before this spring when I was doing it. However, they are putting on the agenda issues that they've been able to kind of agree on, which is that Camp Paradise makes a lot of sense. They're hearing from Homes on Wheels, if Homes on Wheels activists show up, and there was a rather small Homes on Wheels meeting on Friday, so I'm not sure who's going to be showing up, but I think it certainly is a noble effort, and I hope that Homes on Wheels people do show up to talk about it. And I hope there'll be a report about the Green State Party meeting, which I think Linda LeMaster went to as a representative or a delegate or just a visitor, I'm not sure which. And they tried to present a resolution that asked that Green Party politicians be held accountable, particularly, for example, in Santa Cruz and perhaps Santa Monica, where there's another Green Party disgrace, Michael Feinstein, or even Arcata, where the Green Party majority is criminalizing poor people in the town square and setting up behavior laws and keeping their camping bans. You put these clowns in office and they turn into Republicans. I mean, it's amazing. And on local issues, it's a disgrace. And if you can't get your own local Green Party to say something about it, then I have to tell you it is largely, it's not just worthless, it is a detriment. And I was criticized because I'm a Green. I'm still registered Green, I believe. I believe that's the case. And apparently you can't be critical of your party this way. This is considered to be un-Green or too hostile or counterproductive. I don't think so. I think it is quite appropriate to hold, you know, the people in the centers of power of the party to account for the kinds of suffering that their silence is causing. I'm not talking about Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice takes deliberate actions that hurt homeless people. I'm talking about the party mucky-mucks who will not stand up, go up to the mic, and say to Fitzmaurice, I voted for a Green Party member and a Green Party platform. You are not fulfilling that party platform. I need to hear Nick Whitehead, Linda LeMaster. I need to hear activists that I've stood shoulder to shoulder with saying those things at the city council mic to the mayor. It's not good enough to say them in private and hope he's going to do something. We know he's not going to do something. It needs to be said to the community. And the fact that Fitzmaurice is not going to be mayor after November is not relevant because he will still be one of seven votes on the city council. And Crone will be the new mayor. Heaven help us. Crone, the man who swings both ways on the Dolphin Lee. You know, Crone, the man who cannot put together a rent control ordinance to save his life. Crone, the man who runs cowering from the police department, can't get a budget assessment, can't get the Citizens Police Review Board to examine their budget, can't get the Pottinger guidelines, the guidelines that say don't arrest a homeless person for sleeping unless you have a place for her in the shelter, even on the council agenda. I could go on, and I have, and I will, but I keep waiting for activist Fred Geiger to call me on the phone and correct me and tell me all the wonderful things Crone has done, but that's not happening, so I guess I'll have to continue to wait. But if you've got some positive things to say about these council members that I've overlooked, call up 427-3772, 427-3772. Here's a speech called Give Paradise a Chance. It's a letter to City on a Hill by Greg Uba, who's an activist who was one of the people at the Camp Paradise 113-hour round-the-clock table in July after the police began their raids on Paradise. And they, you may remember, they were parked down there in front of Borders, and they had a tent on a vehicle, and they got hundreds and hundreds of signatures demanding that Camp Paradise be allowed to remain. And there actually, as I mentioned, a petition of city council against Camp Paradise from 35 residents, apparently the thing that Porter was blustering about at the last council meeting. But it's from two addresses. A couple of apartment buildings have been encouraged to sign up to oppose Camp Paradise. And I don't have the details on that. I think their concerns should be addressed. But anyway, here's this thing called Give Paradise a Chance. And I don't think City on a Hill ended up not printing this letter, but I liked it anyway. With the weather getting colder and no legal places to sleep, much less camp for most people outside, I was glad to see your letter from Mr. Norris last issue about Camp Paradise. And what he's talking about is a letter that City on a Hill printed from me that talked about the long article that City on a Hill had on Camp Paradise. And it was not the best article, not the worst article. It was okay. And there was a somewhat better article, in this week's Good Times magazine, which is by Jessica Lloyd Rogers, and I recommend you take a look at that one, although it doesn't really put too carefully in the context of the broader situation, although I guess I'll be looking at it later in the show and be trying to take a look at it more carefully. It's actually right here. But here's Give Paradise a Chance by Greg Uba. While I don't agree with Norris 100% all the time, I think his take on the city council and its relentless indifference and even hostility toward homeless self-determination is true. On September 25th, City Council passed the check in on 30 days resolution to allow Camp Paradise time to negotiate a place to move to, but it actually seemed to have an understanding that would give Camp Paradise 90 days with a progress report to the council on October 23rd, a more reasonable amount of time. The Community Housing Land Trust, Paul Lee's United Services Agency, tireless activist Tom Shaver, and the Friends of Camp Paradise are hard at work but far from finished. Now my concern is that Mayor Fitzmaurice wants to close down Camp Paradise early, shortly after October 23rd. Even though the campers have minimized any problems and provided a safe haven, his majority on City Council may try to use environmental pretexts, clean up the river by sweeping away the homeless and anti-homeless laws, sky-high rents and no shelter but ticket the homeless, to eliminate a group whose success may prompt others to form self-help camps. At the October 9th council meeting, council member Ed Porter made an outrageous public attack on Camp Paradise, blaming them for graffiti and the unspecified behavior of other homeless people who were living outside the camp. He misrepresented Camp Paradise's neighbors as being hostile, which is generally not true. And worst of all, he said he was afraid to walk to Camp Paradise, suggesting the area there was unsafe for the community. Perhaps Porter has been listening to too much of Bush's terrorism propaganda. Maybe he needs to get a tour of both sides of the San Lorenzo River north of the Highway 1 bridge and compare the drug camps on one side with the clean and sober situation at Camp Paradise. Once Camp Paradise is evicted, not only will its refugee residents be endangered, but neighborhood safety will plummet. I wonder if the real reason Porter and Fitzmaurice seem so hostile to Camp Paradise is because it is doing what their council has failed to do, in spite of campaign promises to the community. UCSC, it's time for a homeless renter student coalition for rent control and basic human rights. Come to council Tuesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. and tell them so. That's called Give Paradise a Chance, Letter to City on a Hill Press from Greg Uba. Thank you, Greg. And I join in Greg's call for people to come to City Council to come half an hour early on Tuesday. That's the day after tomorrow. You get that hot, tasty soup from Joe Schultz. And here's another letter from, it's called Next Door to Camp Paradise, A Neighbor Speaks Out. Letter to City on a Hill from Camp Paradise neighbor Carl Wilson, 1017. Thank you for your coverage of Camp Paradise, both in the article and letters in response to it. This thanks comes to you from a family that is a neighbor of Camp Paradise and has one student just graduated from, another about to transfer into UCSC. Now is a critical time for Camp Paradise, especially the City Council meeting on October 23rd. The Council has played an ambiguous role in this saga, sometimes threatening, sometimes permissive. On September 25th, City Council passed a check-in on 30 days resolution to allow Camp Paradise time to negotiate a place to move to, but left open the possibility of police action at any time. The Community Housing Land Trust, philanthropist Paul Lee, and a group of concerned Santa Cruz residents have been working hard on the negotiations specified by the council and have made remarkable progress. They said it couldn't be done short of a miracle. Well, we have a semi-miracle, but even some miracles take time. Now there is concern that Camp Paradise might be closed down short of completing arrangements for it to move. Such an action could only be based on misinformation and pretexts such as environmental concern, save the river, deport the people, the camping ban, go to sleep, go to jail, even though we have no legal shelter, and the drug war, reefer madness, to uproot a local community. To derail the process of legitimizing Camp Paradise at a more acceptable location would be worse than a crime. It would be a blunder. Extra credit for identifying source of this expression. I don't know the source. Maybe Mr. Wilson will give us a call. Now is the time for the City Council to hold to a course that helps the homeless. I urge the UCSC community, which whose administration has taken so much affordable housing from town, to come out and support not just Camp Paradise, but the rights of the entire homeless community at 7 p.m. on October 23rd. Carl Wilson, 137 Felker Street, Santa Cruz, 95060. And that's 137 Felker Street, where the meeting tonight will be held of the Green Party's Homeless Issues Working Group, and the public is invited to that meeting. As far as I understand, it's an open meeting. And the phone number to call Mr. Wilson at, in case you want to reach him, and he's also a contact for Friends of Camp Paradise, is 425-4787. Thank you, Carl, for writing in that letter. And I actually put out a flyer for today's parade, which may still be going on downtown, down Pacific Avenue against the, I hope it's against the war, but actually it's for the UN. Of course, the U.S. has ignored the UN in terms of any actions seeking UN sanction, any attempt to take matters to the Security Council, to get peacekeeping troops and so forth. No, the U.S. has decided it's going to do it with Tony Blair yapping in concert there. I'm sorry, I'm not happy with the way the leaders of the most powerful nations in the world are treating a very dangerous and difficult situation and threatening to escalate it rather than to resolve it and to bring the criminals that did it to justice. I think that is a serious problem, and the emotions of the American public are definitely, you know, at maximum volume here. An old time friend of mine, he looked at my flyer, which I'm about to read, and he yelled at me, "You peacenik," and walked off. It actually is a flyer that's mainly about the Santa Cruz homeless, but it does also talk about the war in Afghanistan. So some of these things are irrational factors in play that are quite understandable, and I don't mean irrational in the sense that they are bad irrational, but there is a form of mass, I could call it hysteria, I could call it frenzy, I could call it whatever you'd call it, that essentially takes its cue from public handouts from the Pentagon, the Bush administration, and other government agencies who have an interest in, frankly, getting power out of this situation. And they see themselves as getting power in order to help the community. But, of course, so have dictators throughout the world and throughout history felt when they amassed more and more power. And that is the danger, that the community turns over all this power to people who have good intentions. And, you know, I don't know George Bush personally. One likes to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But, of course, you have to also consider the record of these people and what they've done historically. In fact, you know, the situation, it was set up for this kind of a terrorist incident to happen at some point. And it's a perfect opportunity for a knee-jerk, massive vengeance retaliation, which is what you were getting now. And it's being cloaked as some kind of limited military action. But it is actually not that at all. I don't know what it's going to do. I'm not a prophet. I can't foresee. I can't imagine folks in Afghanistan and Palestine and different Arab countries throughout the world lining up to join an anti-American crusade here. Anyway, my flyer read, "Support UN peacemaking, not U.S. war making. Stop the war on the poor in Santa Cruz and Afghanistan. Support a Santa Cruz City Council resolution asking for the immediate cessation of the Afghanistan bombing and the use of the UN to bring the September 11th criminals to justice. Support the Pottinger guidelines for the Santa Cruz Police Department, successfully used in Miami, Florida, that require police to offer a shelter space for a homeless person before harassing, ticketing, or arresting them for sleeping or camping. Support a suspension of the Santa Cruz sleeping and camping bans during the current shelter emergency and the establishment of reasonable camping areas for poor folks. Support vehicular sleeping zones like established in Eugene and planned in Santa Barbara. Contact Homes on Wheels at 457-9754, extension 1913. That's 457-9754, extension 1913. And you can always call 423-HUFF to get that number again. For more information, or attend their Friday meeting, 7 p.m., Friendship Garden, Harvey West Park. Come to City Council, Tuesday, October 23rd, 6:30 p.m. Tasty campfire soup from Joe Schultz. Speak up for Camp Paradise on the evening agenda. Call City Council, and everybody out there who's listening to the show can do that right now, 420-5017. And if you favor it, ask to end the bombing of Afghanistan, but certainly ask to end the sleeping and camping bans in Santa Cruz. End the sleeping ban, modify the camping ordinance so there can be camping in some places, and support the Pottinger guidelines for the Santa Cruz Police Department and vehicular parking spaces and parking zones where people in vehicles can sleep overnight safely and in a sanitary fashion. That is elementary stuff. 420-5017, Santa Cruz City Council, and Tuesday, 6:30, come on down there to speak about the issue, just to be there, bring your sleeping bag. If you can't find any other place to sleep, there is that city council chamber. It's always a nice place to, hit the sack if you need to. After all, we don't want to crowd them down at Camp Paradise. They've got enough people down there, and city council hasn't yet set up any kind of campground. Porter is talking about another campground, but I'm not aware that he's interested in setting up campgrounds that would actually accommodate the need, the real need. It's okay to bomb the hell out of the Afghanistan people and then drop food parcels afterward as an afterthought, but you can't provide shelter here in Santa Cruz for the very people who were born here and who live here or have worked here and have been working here or who happen to be here and are unfortunate and disabled here. It is a disgrace, and it needs to be changed, and it's only the Santa Cruz community that's going to change it. If you want to call in and talk about this issue or any of the issues I've raised, you can give me a call, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, 427-3772, here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And we are indeed on the air. If you're on campus, you should also know that there are two laws that criminalize homeless people on campus. I'm going to read a little bit from an article I wrote in September 2000 for the City on a Hill Press's Back. Ordinance 51, use